إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, one of the outcomes of modern technology, there are many good things of course of technology, but one of the or two of the unintended perhaps but very powerful outcomes. One is the addiction to speed. And the second one is the false sense of achievement. These are two very important things that have happened, which have hugely impacted on how we experience real life. And they have impacted how we experience stress. So one is addiction to speed. I still remember these guys have never even probably heard or seen something like that. They used to be computers which had a chip which was 386. When 386 changed to 486, for me it was like lightning. Today if you give one of the young ones a 486 computer, he'll commit suicide. So this is the change. And we see this in practically everything we use, whether it is searches or how quick the screen loads or messaging systems or whatever, right? Faster and faster and faster. If you stop to ask a simple question and say, why do we need this speed? I'm not saying we never need speed. We need speed in times of emergencies and so on. But if I get a response to a message, for example, in 3 minutes instead of getting that response in 10 seconds. So what's happened? What's the problem? How has that 3 minutes caused me any loss or what has happened? But you will find people getting completely stressed out, totally stressed. I mean, the phones have become like, you know, I mean, here it's not happening, alhamdulillah, at least where I can see. Otherwise, instantly after salah, assalamu alaikum, and the hand goes into the pocket and the phone comes out. Maybe there is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or something on your phone, you know, just now. Your salah is maqbool, mashallah. Come to Jannah right now. So the thing is that this is one addiction to speed. So faster, 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 faster. Nobody even stops to ask, what is the benefit of this speed? And I'll tell you the downside of this in a minute. Second thing is the false impression of achievement, of getting something. And that is related to the speed. So for example, you sent something, you got a message, you achieved something, right? The most graphic display of this false sense of achievement, of course, is in games. And we have children now who practically from the time he opens his eyes or she opens her eyes, they are playing games. Games are designed, specifically designed. That's how a game sells. Games are designed to give you instant responses. A game that doesn't give you an instant response won't sell. I mean, simple as that. It has to give you instant responses. And it has to give you the majority of responses that it has to give you are responses which are positive for you, right? For example, that's the reason why you ask, you know, take any of these games and say, well, how come chess doesn't sell as fast as anything else? Or how come solitaire doesn't sell as fast or as much as, you know, whatever, Angry Birds or God knows what? Reason being for this, because there you have to use your brain. You have to use your intelligence, your brain, there's no instant response. You make a move, the computer makes a move and so on and so on. So it doesn't sell. It doesn't sell because we don't like that stuff. We don't like to use our brains. We want instant responses and all, if not all, then at least most of them should be in our favor. Now the problem is that the human mind is not geared in a way where there are little boxes. So now I am out of this room, I shut the door, I am in another room, and now what is inside the other room doesn't affect me. It doesn't work like that. It is hugely networked and there is a spillover from one side to the other, positive and negative. So now take these two things, you take speed and you take the which is speed of response basically, and you take this instant gratification, sense of achievement, instant gratification, and you have the recipe for emotional immaturity. Emotional maturity is the exact opposite of this. Patience and delayed justification, delayed gratification. Patience and delayed gratification. And what are we getting geared for is exactly the opposite. No patience, a false sense of urgency, and instant gratification. And this is how we are training our children. This is how we've got trained. I'm not saying you went to a class for that. This training, very powerful training, which simply happened unconsciously, but it has happened. The outcome of this is stress. Because the moment you don't get the gratification, now your blood pressure is going up and your chemicals are forming and the brain is short-circuiting and, you know, the stress and so on, which has very direct and very drastic effects on your body in many ways, in terms of your heart and so on and so on. Also, it has the spillover effect of this has or in terms of your relationships. You get stressed out, you stress out your wife, you stress out your children, you stress out your dog and your cat and everybody else, and the, you know, your employees and whatnot. All of this, why? Because of this sense of emotional immaturity that we have allowed to happen. Now, in the past, this wonderful book which I am reading, I have almost completed it, called The Obstacle is the Way. He says that in the past, letters used to be, before you ended the letter, they used to end it with Deo Valente, which is Latin for God willing, which is the Arabic of it, which is Inshallah, right? God willing, Deo Valente. They used to end the letter with, we'll do this, God willing. Now, he says that the reason they did that was because, not even because they were particularly religious or anything like that, but because they knew that not everything is in my control. They knew that there are things which are going to happen, which I have no control over, but those things are going to affect whatever thing that I am doing, and therefore I need to be mentally prepared for what life is going to put before me. Now, this does not mean you don't make the effort. It does not mean saying inshallah does not mean, you know, may Allah forgive us. We have turned inshallah into some kind of bad word. People in the Middle East, if you, lot of non-Muslims, if you say inshallah, he said, no, please tell me, are you doing it or you're not doing it? Don't inshallah me. People say IBM in Saudi Arabia, so IBM, inshallah, bukra, maalish. So first you say inshallah, then you said bukra tomorrow, then you say salam alaikum. Forgive me, I won't do it. So people, IBM technology, inshallah, bukra, maalish. Seriously, I mean, this is we bring a bad name to our own religion. But the point is that this is what, and the things that he's talking about, this guy, is he's talking about the Stoics, which were people prehistory, before the Roman Empire, before the Greeks. But this was the thinking, because people were in connection with their own nature. They were in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They may not have worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah, but whatever they had a sense that there is somebody bigger than me, and I don't own this world and I don't run this world. But today we are living in this false balloon, false bubble, which makes us feel that we are actually running this world. And so we get hugely stressed out. This didn't happen, that didn't happen. Why? Because, you know, like 10 seconds before, something I did and nothing, there's no result to show for it. Because we have brought ourselves to this addiction to speed and this addiction to instant gratification. These are two of the absolute worst things in terms of emotional development that you can imagine. Read all the books on EI, for example, emotional intelligence. They run courses and they run books. The gist of all books is the ability to delay gratification, the patience to work for long-term goals. This is also one of the root causes for divorces. Instant gratification. You want this, you have this vision of this perfect, you know, wife or husband in your mind. You never looked in the mirror, so you don't know that what you are bringing to the marriage. And then you don't find that. And about 10 seconds later, you decide that this is not for me. So, gone home. Key reason is this. Whereas in the past, people had patience. They said, all right, so this is not working out. Fine, what else is working out? Let's balance things. In the balance of things, okay, there are some negative things, but there are so many more positive things. So let's look at the positive. Let's learn to live with the negative. Let's carry on. There are more important things than this. And so there was stability. There was stability. The family structure was stable. Children were brought up with that. There was patience. People waited for seasons. Simple things like fruit, for example. Now today we say you can get any fruit at any time. But one of the problems or one of the downsides of it is that the whole anticipation, we used to wait for the mango season. We used to wait for the apples from Amri apples from Kashmir. We used to wait for those days. Hyderabad was the center for grape growing. So we used to wait for the Anab-e Shahi and the Bedana Angur from in February and so on from Hyderabad. Today you don't have to wait. You go to supermarket, you get any fruit anytime. According to me, that's not a blessing, that's a curse, because now the whole anticipation of saying, ah, na angur ka mausam aa gaya, now is the time for season for grapes, and all this joy is gone from it. It's like buying, I don't know, potatoes or something. So the whole issue is that the emphasis that Islam puts on acknowledging the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, the most basic of that is to say inshallah. Which is in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf specifically said, say inshallah, don't just say I will do this, I will do that. No, inshallah, recognize and accept the fact that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has a plan, that your qadr is something, and inshallah tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more about the qadr thing. But talk about this and say that, think about this and say that there is a place for intervention from on high in my life. And imagining or living my life in a way as if I am the sole decider of what happens to me is nonsense. And the immediate outcome of that nonsensical form of living is high stress and blood pressure and heart attacks and strokes and whatnot, because you are getting stressed out about things which are really not in your control. And that's why the what's called the serenity prayer. It says, God, give me the courage to change the things that I can, the patience to accept the things that I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference. I mean, I'm not quoting it correctly. It's correctly, it sounds nicer than this, but basically this is what it means. That have the courage to change what you can, have the patience to accept what you cannot change, and have the wisdom to know the difference. Don't go and, you know, bang your head against a stone wall. I always say that if you try to break a stone wall with your head, it's bad for the head, not for the wall. It's not a sensible way of breaking a stone wall. You want to get over a stone wall, find a way other than trying to use your head to break it. And this is the key of Deo Valente, and as far as we are concerned, of inshallah, to accept the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. And the immediate benefit of that is freedom from stress. It's complete freedom from stress. You do your effort to the maximum that you can do, and then you say, Insha'Allahul Musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do this if this is His wish, if this is His will. And we know that biyadihil khair, that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills is khair, it is beneficial. And so for us, there is benefit of that. Whether I get it or whether I don't get it. Yesterday, or day before yesterday, 20th of October, my very good friend of mine, T.S. Babu, he sent me a birthday greeting, and he said something very fantastic. He said to me, Allah has blessed you with what He has given you, and He has blessed you with what He has not given you. That's alhamdulillah. This is Islamic thinking. He has blessed you with what He has given you, and He has blessed you with what He has not given. Not getting is also a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I can bear witness to that, wallahi. And that's why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to accept and understand and be happy with what He has written for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.